friends, this summer we are exploring the book of Exodus together, which makes my heart happy. I love the book of Exodus, so this is really exciting for me. I hope it's exciting for you as well. It's a journey with the Israelites out of Egypt. The Exodus is referring to Israel's Exodus, which will happen soon. We haven't gotten there yet in our journey, but it's going to happen. Last week, we read the story of how God heard the cries of his people in slavery. He heard their inner groans, and he came to Moses in the form of a burning bush, but it wasn't consumed, and called Moses to be the one to lead his people out of Egypt, to go to Pharaoh to free his people. God promises Moses that his presence will be with him. And to prove that, God did something truly amazing that we unpacked last week. God gave Moses his name, which was I Am. This morning in our passage, we will see what happens when Moses and his brother Aaron go for the first time to confront this Pharaoh and do exactly what the Lord has told them to do. Aaron, his brother, is going with Moses because God heard Moses' doubts about his speech impediment, and Aaron is going to speak on behalf of Moses to Pharaoh. So now, hear these words from the story in Exodus, chapter 7, verses 8 through 24. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just what the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, the Egyptian magicians, and they also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up the other staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let my people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning, just as he has gone to the river. Confront him on the bank of the Nile, and take your hand on the staff that was changed to a snake, and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you have not listened.' This is what the Lord said: 'By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink the water.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hands over the water of Egypt, over the streams and over the canals, over the ponds and the reservoirs, and it all will be turned to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even the vessels of the wood and stone.' Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same thing by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water, because they could not drink the water of the river." Here ends our reading for the word of God in Scripture. for the word of God among us and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Friends, will you join with me in the spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, last month at a youth group meeting, we had a hypnotist come in. It was really fun. We were in this space right here, and the hypnotist came, and I ended up deciding to get hypnotized, which was a leap of faith for me, because I didn't know what to expect from this hypnotist, but I thought it would be fun and silly, so I ended up trying to do it. And it worked for me. I was able to be hypnotized and stayed hypnotized throughout the whole show. And the hypnotist, I remember everything that happened because the hypnotist made sure to say, you will remember everything that happened. So not only do I have people's crazy videos of what I did, and you search long enough on Facebook, I'm sure you can find those crazy videos on the youth group Facebook page. Not only do we have those videos, but I really remember everything that I did that day. I remember I pretended to drive a car while rocking out to music. Now, I do that all the time, so it was easy to pretend to do that, because that's my regular routine when I drive, is you'll probably see me at a stoplight just rocking out to music. I don't have tinted windows, so you can see that very clearly, that I am really into the song. So that was fun. I pretended to be a Zumba instructor, pretending to lead a class. I had never done Zumba before. I had just, you know, the hypnotist said, be a Zumba instructor, and so I was, and so I led the people in Zumba, something I'd never done before. And at one point, the hypnotist had me pretend to be a sheriff, and if I heard anyone laughing in the audience, I was supposed to write them a ticket. There was a lot of laughing, and I wrote a lot of tickets, and I remember that. And I also did something above and beyond what the hypnotist said to do, because I was really living into this fantasy. I put people in jail. I created my own jail, it was like right around there, and I grabbed people and I placed them in jail. I took my role as a sheriff very seriously during this hypnotist show. I had control over myself, but I was living this daydream. I felt like I was living this great daydream, and I was very relaxed. I was imitating what I thought to be reality, what I thought to be the truth. And I wonder if in our story today, Pharaoh's magicians felt the same way that I did when I was hypnotized. They were trying to imitate the Lord, but were not on God's level at all. Just like I was not on a Zumba instructor's level at all, and I'm sure I was not on a sheriff's level at all. I did the rocking out in the car pretty well, so I know that level. I can hype it up. But I was trying to imitate what I thought to be the truth, just like Pharaoh's magicians. The actions of the magicians were so convincing that they caused the Pharaoh to harden his heart and reject God's call and message to free the Israelites and stop worshiping false gods in Egypt. What we learn from Pharaoh's story, I believe, is this: that God looks inward at our hearts and cares about the state of our hearts. God looks inward at our hearts. In the story, did you catch the faithfulness of Moses and Aaron? They followed all the instructions that the Lord had given to them and said all the words to the T that the Lord had told them to say. And I think as readers, we are supposed to compare their hearts and their actions to the selfishness of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh would not listen and trusted the magicians over the Lord. In the book of Exodus, if you are reading along in your spare time this summer, you'll find something very peculiar in the story of Exodus. There are verses that state that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, like was in our passage today, but there are other verses in Exodus where it states that God hardened Pharaoh's hearts. Actually, 9 times, equal of both. It says that God hardened Pharaoh's hearts, and it says 9 times that Pharaoh hardened his own hearts. So what is going on here? I have heard people say that they can't believe in a God that would harden Pharaoh's heart intentionally. So this week I wanted to really unpack what we are supposed to do with this information from Exodus. Now, I think what's really happening here is, first of all, we're not supposed to view the Pharaoh as a good person. For over 430 years, the Israelites have been enslaved in Egypt and were part of this system of slavery by pharaohs who have kept the slavery going. The violation of human rights alone should cause us not to feel much sympathy for Pharaoh. When we encounter the verses in Exodus that state God hardened Pharaoh's heart, the Hebrew that's used here is a figure of speech. They wouldn't have read it literally, because obviously someone literally can't make their heart hard. Hardening of Pharaoh's heart would have meant to the original readers that God provided the circumstances and occasion for Pharaoh to be forced to make a decision. God sent Moses to place his demands before Pharaoh. Moses merely announced God's instructions. God even accompanied this word with miracles to confirm the divine message. Pharaoh made up his own mind after seeing these miracles and choosing not to listen to the words of Moses and Aaron. He made up his own mind of his own accord. He stubbornly refused to comply. As one commentator put it, and I quote, "God was certainly the instigator and initiator, but he was not the author of Pharaoh's defiance," end quote. Pharaoh made his own choice here after seeing the false signs. He chose freely what to believe, and that was to harden his own heart. And the magicians were able to perform the same signs as turning the staff into a snake. And this led me to do some other research this week of snake charming and what did that mean in the ancient world. How does a person get a snake as stiff as a staff? Cobras, especially, which were represented in Egypt's history, have very ancient methods. You apparently rub a certain spot on a cobra and it becomes as stiff as a snake, or as stiff as a staff. And then they threw it and it woke up, I guess. So even today, people still practice snake handling. I tried to look up snake handlers on the South Shore. There's not many of them. Like, I didn't find any of them. I didn't really want to bring one in because that's scary. I don't want a cobra in worship. But maybe someday we can all travel to an ancient place and watch a snake charmer work. I don't want to try it myself. I'll watch from a long distance. But the snake here in the story was in a state called caphesis, which it would become as stiff as a staff. And this could last all day long. So it would have been possible for the magicians to imitate this. But did you catch what happens after the staff turned into a snake? Well, God makes it clear that he is the ultimate one performing miracles here. And his God, Aaron's snake, swallows up the snake of the magicians. God is the ultimate one, but that wasn't enough to convince Pharaoh. He had made up his mind to harden his heart to God. And then the result of that hardened heart would be 10 plagues that will come on to the land of Egypt. And these plagues were meant to A, show God's power, B, set the Israelites free, and C, show the Egyptians and Pharaoh that they were worshiping false gods. For example, the Egyptian god Hapi, god of the Nile, was the water bearer. So this first plague attacks the water, their god of the water. But Pharaoh was not able to see the truth and his heart stayed hardened toward all of the 10 plagues. The Nile represented life for the Egyptians, and symbolically God turns it into blood because Pharaoh has shed so much blood on the Hebrews and on his people. But this plague is not enough for Pharaoh to unharden his heart. So what we see from the story is God looks inward at the state of our hearts. A couple months ago, I sat with a family as we planned a funeral for their loved one. At one point in the conversation, one of the daughters asked me if God judges people based on church attendance. And before I even had a chance to respond to this question, another person in the room said that God doesn't judge people like humans do. And at that moment, I responded with an enthusiastic amen, because that is the truth. God doesn't judge as humans do. God is the ultimate judge because he looks inward at the heart, and that's the gospel truth. God will always give us opportunities to see the truth, and God will always show up to reveal himself through the Spirit. We just have to have eyes to see. From the story, we see that God doesn't control us. God didn't create us to be robots. God created us to love freely with our whole heart. There is no coercion or forced love on God's part. God will prove himself to us, and he has done that ultimately through Christ's death and resurrection, that the ultimate proof of God's love. So what we learn from this story, I believe, is this. A hardened heart, if we look at Pharaoh, is selfish, doesn't care about the needs of others, and makes up excuses to go their own way. An open heart, by contrast, loves thy neighbor as thyself, is repentant, and tries to make this world a better place through love here on earth, because that is what Christ did. And an open heart is loving, just as Christ has loved us. So we keep our hearts open because God meets us right here with our open hearts. We're not called to be perfect. That's not the gospel. We are called to love and let our hearts exude love always. So God looks inward at our hearts. So I ask you today, what is the state of your heart? Will it be hardened like Pharaoh, or will it be open and free to listen and follow like Moses and Aaron? Because God cares about our hearts. Amen. Friends, our communion hymn is titled Near to the Heart of God. And you will find that hymn in the green hymnal that is in the pew racks in front of you. And as always, for those of you worshiping at home, you will be able to follow along.